Hello, everybody. Welcome to our latest edition of the East Texas News Roundup. I'm here with Megan Whitworth, the editor of the Houston County Courier in Crockett, Texas. Hey, Megan.
Hey, hey.
And Jacob McAdams of the San Jacinto News Times.
Yeah.
And for fans of Chris Edwards in Tyler County, and Jason Klopp is out on assignment. He's covering the district cross-country meet with our good friend Larry Lamb, and we're just going to make do without them. So let's start with San Jacinto County. What's happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, we just wrapped up a number of events. We had the garage sale for the Cold Spring Area Public Library. That's one of their biggest events that they have, or not biggest events, but one of their biggest fundraisers that they have.
And I heard it was just madness over there.
A bit.
Or busy. It was all very sane.
Yeah, it was definitely busy. It was busier than the other event that was happening that morning, which was the zombie walk. I should say that morning, the garage sale actually runs 3 days, but that Saturday we also had the zombie walk, which...
So where were all the zombies?
Well, there were three of them, which was sad because last year they had a low turnout, certainly had more than three. The year before that, though, that was when they had a lot of zombies.
What do I need to know next year so I can show up in time in full zombie mode?
I'll keep it brief as far as what it was that kind of kept the low turnout and all that. But basically, the San Jacinto County Historical Commission did not get the advertising out like they had intended to get that event running. But they say they're planning to do that next year to be more effective. And if it doesn't work next year, then they're probably just going to shut it down.
Poor zombies.
Browder's Marina had their 22nd annual benefit for St. Jude's Research Center.
And yeah,
they raised over $50,000.
Wow.
And altogether over 22 years, this is one of their biggest years because over 22 years, they have raised $700,000 total.
Man. So nearly $750,000.
Correct.
Right out of Browder's Marina.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. They had a big auction. There are a couple items that sold for more than $1,000 by themselves.
Wow.
Guy actually offered to shave his beard, let people bid on that. He had a massive beard. It puts mine to shame. And sold for over $500.
So like his beard hair, someone bought that?
No, how much would people bid to see him get shaved?
Because I like you, but I don't really want a hunk of your Grizzly Adams beard.
I'll take it for $80.
Okay.
No, for $80, he's just going to go down a little further, trim down a little bit on his cheeks.
Pretty much. So. So, yeah, those are our three big events from that weekend. And then this coming Saturday, we are going to be having a walk with the doc, which is going to be done with the Health Center of Southeast Texas.
All right. I need to have a doc with me at all times if I walk, followed by a mobile ICU, because I fall and do crazy, weird stuff.
You're saying that the guy that just got out of the hospital a few months ago. So.
Just wait till you hit those fives in the first generation of your first digit of your age. That's all. When AARP gets on speed dial, then you really feel fragile.
That's what I'm probably going to start feeling grumpy too. Just saying.
I wish we were on video. Megan is... That's a great look on her face.
It's like, what are you talking about? You're already grumpy.
What's happening in Houston County, Megan?
What's not happening? Let's be real.
Speaking of grumpy.
Oh, geez. So yesterday was deadline day. I'd actually finished the paper early.
Oh, that's what did it.
But then at 4 o'clock, we got a press release from the superintendent, Don Jackson, in Greenland ISD saying one of their employees was arrested for continual sexual abuse. And fellow reporter Kay, she got the press release and she was like, breaking news, breaking news. So I had to go rearrange. But yeah, her name is Melissa Singer. Mm-hmm. She is a 4th and 5th grade math teacher at an elementary school.
Wow.
Who got arrested Tuesday. And we're still figuring out details. We don't know any information about
her victim and the episode. And of course, we don't share enough information Grapeland's a small district. We're not ever going to be so specific. You could narrow it down to a few kids. But this is always very unfortunate. And when we were starting Children's Haven here in Polk County, and I know Houston County and Trinity County have a different child advocacy center. But folks, those are a tremendous resource. If you have any questions about a child you know and love, if they are a victim or if something in the news, I know with all of the Kavanaugh hearings going on, a lot of people who are past victims of sexual assault have been kind of triggered and put on guard by just every other minute you're talking about sexual assault. So kind of be kind. And if you need to know how to help kids going through that and their families, they try to minimize the future trauma to the kid as much as they can.
We are thinking that it didn't happen at the school because Anderson County Sheriff Department actually
So it was something that happened away from the campus.
So that's what we're thinking.
And one would hope that it would not take place right there on campus, that there's enough supervision and folks wandering around that you would do that at the school.
And we have to keep in mind innocent until proven guilty. A lot of days it's easy to just assume everyone's guilty. Mm-hmm. But that is something that we have to keep in mind. But it's just, when you hear things like that, it really makes you question humanity a lot, because it's such as a grandmother and a mother and married for over a decade. And anyways, just things like that.
Do we even know, is the victim male or female? Okay. Because, I mean, it's unfortunately, it's something that I've covered a lot. I've even been on Investigation Discovery covering a case, and that one of the incidents that the guy was convicted for happened in a church in Onalaska. So while services were going on, it's in the news that Melania Trump says that sexual assault victims need to have proof. That's a time there was absolute biological proof that it happened. So not a iffy thing.
Yeah.
It is. That is definitely true. And I do agree with that, that proof is there. I mean, I've made that remark when certain allegations came up. I won't say who. There was allegations like that in San Jacinto County not too long ago.
The complex nature of it. And I see now that it's a hot topic because people are very worried about their sons or husbands or anybody out in the workplace. Are they going to be wrongfully accused? Well, it's been that way for sexual assault victims for a million years now, that you were never believed, because who has sex in front of witnesses? Not very many people. As far as proof, I mean, even in a child, kids, I mean, a lot of times they don't even, it starts happening to them before they even know it's wrong. They know that they don't like it. Most of us don't have that conversation with small kids, so they don't know, you know, how to get themselves out of the predicament they're in.
I think the thing is that it's a situation where you have to look at things and you have to realize you have to be fair, because it's sort of like there's a certain, I forget who it was, but there's a, she's like a young starlet in Hollywood now. I forget what her name is off the top of my head, but she was talking about this alleged incident where when she was underage, you know, she wasn't 18 yet. She was allegedly propositioned by the actor James Woods. And when she was talking about it, and I don't know all the ins and outs or anything, but she said it was so sad that we have to actually prove these sorts of things. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, I can understand if it happened.
Well, if it was it a proposition, or was it he locked her in the room? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the details of that allegation at all.
I'd have to look back over again, but I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, yeah, you kind of do have to prove it if you want people to believe you. You can't just go around saying things. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's a balance here.
You have to have more than that, but it's going to be hard if you are a mature woman. And some of the allegations against Matt Lauer, for example, those women don't have proof, but when there is a whole bunch of smoke, the guy has a button on his desk to lock the door. You have to really contort yourself to maintain that presumption of innocence.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, all women get unsolicited overtures. I mean, and it's kind of, or flirtation, or if you're walking past a construction site, get whistled at. Getting violent or wanting somebody arrested for that is a little over the top. I don't know, because of just the nature of the allegations there, you know, who is going to have proof?
Right. I mean, it's sort of like when they talked about, you know, because we brought up Kavanaugh, but I will say the other thing that just happened here recently is Bill Cosby just got sentenced for his guilty verdict. As far as these cases are concerned, I've always left them alone because I'm never going to know all the details. I was not there. It's just my general philosophy. I don't know if they're innocent or guilty. Now, in Bill's case, I'll admit I was leaning towards guilty, because there are some things that came up that he apparently had sealed documents of like one of these alleged incidents. For whatever, I forget what the whole details were, but they were sealed for whatever reason. But from what I remember, they unsealed them for this recent case and everything. So I'm like, okay, yeah, that's probably not going to go too well for him. But it again comes down to, I mean, I'll put it this way, people like me or Jason or Chris as men, are we afraid of getting false accusations? And I'll give my honest response to that. To some extent, yeah, because I do not ever want to be the kind of person who would sexually assault someone.
Right.
But the thing is, I could be as pristine and crystal clear as can be and be a perfect saint, perfect little angel. Mm-hmm. But all someone has to do is accuse me of it. And my reputation's ruined. It doesn't matter what I've done. Well,
but I do have to admit, Jacob and I had a private conversation about this, that I feel very fortunate in our workplace because the men that I work with are very respectful and they are not aggressive or assertive. Our employees would never put someone in that position. I really believe in my heart that they would try to force someone. We have had some incidents where a visitor to the office has made a female employee extremely uncomfortable, and I try to intervene. We've had family members of employees make another employee very uncomfortable, and we do our best to intervene and resolve the situation. So it can happen very easily, but I think that the environment that you have in the workplace, and the owner of our business has always wanted employees to feel like family. I mean, that frankly, that's one reason why I guess I don't feel so threatened is that, you know, I've got my little brother, I've got brothers-in-law, my son-in-law runs in and out of the building. Mm-hmm. So I feel protected, but that doesn't mean I haven't gotten boxed into the office by a woman who was a family member of someone who had been arrested and was very angry, and we called the police. Mm-hmm. But I think the attitude a man has towards women that he comes in contact with has the very most to do with whether he would ever be accused of something.
I will tell you this, because I'm very conservative in that regard, but I will tell you this. One of my previous jobs, I actually did have a female coworker make me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I'll admit, oddly enough, it was not during the time we worked. It was actually after I left, but she had my cell number, and it was during a time I personally never, like, nothing weird ever happened when we were working together. But then all of a sudden, we're not working together. I'm at another job, and I was getting some really inappropriate texts from her.
Right.
You know, and making certain suggestions that, and I kept trying to tell her, okay, you need to stop. You need to stop. Right. I tried to literally ignore it for like 2 days straight and was still get relentless texts from her. And it was crazy.
Well, I mean, did you ever tell someone at that time that was going on?
I talked to one of my other friends that knew her and also worked. I had to also work together with him. Mm-hmm. And he kind of felt the same way. It was kind of bizarre. But as far as, like, you know, handling the employee itself, I honestly didn't think I could do it. Because, I mean, we were in separate jobs. And it wasn't like she was stalking me or anything. She was just sending me a lot of texts like that. And I'm just kind of like, okay, you seriously need to stop doing that. You know, but after a while, it was starting to get really uncomfortable. Because I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, it's not even funny. You're not making me laugh. You're clearly not. Because I'm clearly said it, I don't know how many times. You're not making me, you know, this is not funny. This is kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. I've ignored it for a few days, you know, but she would not let up. You know, she could not take the hint. And I forget what it was I finally told her whatever it was I said that she finally stopped. And she, of course, was really rude about it and really angry, you know. And I'm like, you know, sitting there thinking, people do not kid like this.
Right. And because I absolutely believe that there are many instances where older women do go after younger, attractive men way over the top. It's kind of, I don't know if it's a hormone thing or what, but I did.
Well, she was close to my age. So
yeah,
it wasn't,
but I mean, that's so, but I think that's kind of the defense that maybe men need to be aware of now, that if you are getting some unwanted attention from someone in the workplace or some other situation where you're kind of forced into contact, I would definitely talk to someone else, whether or not it's bothering you, but just get yourself a witness so that if there is something that develops later, you can, you know, say, look, she was making me uncomfortable at the time. I didn't try to have her punished or anything, but, you know, now she's made an allegation that I did something and I was never alone with her or anything else. It at least gives you someone to say, hey, this is how concerned I was about it at the time. I called Donald Trump and told him that this girl was after me. But when I was publisher in Gonzales, I was the only female in the newsroom. I had other women working in sales and in the office support staff. But some ladies came in and were very aggressive with young guys in the newsroom. A couple of them were very attractive, and one of them was a filmmaker on the side. And The other one, actually, I drug him up to work in Houston County for a little while, but he had a band. So on Monday morning, it would be press day, but I would also have to clean out the groupies out of the office on Monday morning because they would follow him to work on Monday or they knew he was going to be coming in. So they'd be sitting there waiting.
It's ridiculous.
But women can be aggressive.
It's sad because it's like that. We don't talk about that though. And it's just, we were talking about this teacher and I'm thinking, what's the last time I heard about that? You know, it's been a while for
me.
Well,
it hasn't been a while here in Livingston.
Really?
We've dealt with it on a number of occasions. And in fact, I've been, y'all may not know this about me, but I'm kind of a true crime junkie.
really?
I would have guessed.
But we're doing Crime Behind the Pine Curtain as a special section, and it has kind of reinforced to me how many times that we've had someone go to prison for having sex with a student. Mm. And I would love to get one of the guys that's come out of prison negotiating to try to sit down and talk with them about what happened leading up to that time where you crossed the line. Because I want to know, I may have to do that without saying, identifying the exact person I'm talking to.
It probably happens a lot more with like female teachers. I don't know. Because the most famous one is Mary Kay Letourneau.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen in Hudson too long ago. Mm-hmm. Where I think it was like an elementary teacher had gotten some high school students.
It has happened a lot lately with female teachers. I mean, there's been a few in Houston in the last few weeks because mm-hmm. it's just like, come on, can y'all not touch some of the kids?
I will tell you, there have been a few cases like that in Shepherd. And mm-hmm. a couple of them were male, a couple of them were female. One of them was a substitute teacher, so he didn't. But, or at least from what I'm understanding, yes. But yes, there have been some instances like that. Or at least alleged, I should say, alleged instances like that where that had been an issue. And I can't say what was done or, you know, I certainly will not say who all was involved in that. But I do remember that those are always the rumors that were flying around when mm-hmm. I was in school.
Right. And well, when I went back in the ancient days of the 60s and 70s when I was in school, you would have a teacher and a student, a male teacher and a female student, start a relationship in high school and that continue on. And you know, sometimes they even got married and had kids and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was a little more acceptable.
Well,
an epidemic now.
No. Well, in the TV show Pretty Little Liars, one of the main cast, when she was like a sophomore, freshman, had a relationship with a teacher, and it lasted for years, even as she grew up. Like, it's dramatized, it's romanticized mm-hmm. type of thing. Like, they're finding that a lot in TV shows, like even SpongeBob SquarePants. I know I'm stretching it, but like has inappropriate things that are teaching mm-hmm. these young kids and teenagers just impressionable minds.
Well, Riverdale just did that. If you're not familiar with the name Riverdale is based on the Archie comics.
Right, right.
And I remember reading about it when the show came out, and I was like, oh, so this is based on the Archie, Betty and mm-hmm. Veronica and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then
Jughead.
And then it turns out that Archie had a relationship with Mrs. Grundy, who is significantly younger in this live-action show than she was in the comics.
Because she was a long-standing ARP member by the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like the thing that they're, you know, you're seeing a lot of that now, interestingly enough, now that you mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. 60s or 70s, Mrs. Robinson.
Yes, The Graduate.
Yeah.
The Graduate, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it is romanticized and you're having an affair with your hot teacher type of thing.
I don't know. Have you seen The Graduate? I mean, I've rewatched The Graduate lately. Really kind of dark in a lot of places. What? And what was the movie that they went back and followed up on them decades later?
Well, there's rumor has it with Jennifer Aniston.
Yes,
I love that one, but
that's not my thing. I mean, you know, in when I was in school, the film that was popular was American Pie. And,
mm-hmm.
You know,
no, I don't know if we can even talk about American Pie.
Yeah, we really shouldn't. But I never saw it, and mm-hmm. I never cared to see that. But I do remember a lot of the kids in my grade level and whatnot, which that was 99. And, you know, for the record, I was in fifth grade. So, yeah, have fun with that thought. But, yeah, I mean, they're all talking about there is that instance because one of the characters that is really popular from it is Stifler's mom, mm-hmm. who, of course, is the
– in the follow-ups, yeah. She gets involved with one of the kids.
Well, from my understanding, it actually starts in the first film. It's not the follow-ups. So.
Okay. You can tell I haven't watched it. So, have we covered y'all's two counties? I was going to, Chris did send me a message that they've had they have Harvest Festival coming up in Woodville. So, all the Tala County folks go out to Heritage Village on the 19th and 20th. They have a Folk Life Festival event in that recreated village. And check out today's edition of the Tyler County Booster. And it will talk all about it. They just had their county fair as well for the county fair extravaganza, where they sold over $300,000. Wow. Went through the auction.
See, these towns might be small and there might be a lot of drama and bad news, but when people come together.
Right. Well, and it's not, it definitely is I know in Trinity County, it's a year round thing that the buyers groups. That's a lot of chicken dinners and spaghetti suppers and car washes and all that to pull together all that money. But it is great because when you think about preparing a kid for the work, career ready or college ready, they got to learn how to maintain a long project. And obviously raising a calf, chickens, not so much, but lambs, goats, cows take a lot of effort over a long period of time.
So you said there's a folk festival over there?
He says it is a Heritage Village next weekend, the 19th to 20th, which is a folk life festival out at Heritage Village.
Hopefully they're not hanging someone over there because we are just...
No, they are not. I've been over there in recent years and there are no hangings.
Then they're good. Then.
Everyone, they don't ever...
Because we just saw how that turned out.
For San Jacinto County. I think San Jacinto County is unique in staging the hangings.
I agree.
But on Thursday, probably, I don't know how many of our listeners will have a chance to listen to the podcast since you do this on your own schedule. But Thursday, tomorrow night, we are having the candidate forum for Livingston ISD. We have 8 folks running for 4 seats, and I'm the moderator. So,
you really?
I am, yeah.
Nice.
So I bullied the little sisters into letting me use the auditorium. No, it's not even their call. But
so basically, whoever loses the debate, that's going to be that side that's going to accuse you of being biased, right? Yep.
Probably. Some of them I've known for a long time. There's a couple of folks I went to high school with that are running. Alex Garcia is in high school. He worked here at the Enterprise, so known him for decades. Marty Drake is a Livingston police officer, so I've rubbed elbows with him many times over the year. Love his wife, Rachel. And everyone in Livingston loves their babies, Sully and little kindergarten Drake. I'm sorry, I can't. John something. He's named after one of his grandfathers. I cannot call his name off the top of my head. I will get in trouble for that. Anyway, 8 folks. Go ahead and laugh at me, Megan. It's okay. So we have that candidate forum coming up on Thursday at the Livingston Intermediate School. That's on Lyons Avenue out on 190 East across from Chico is how you get there. Because we have a terrible time in Livingston getting folks to the right campus. There are a couple of robberies here in Livingston under investigation. A guy hid in the Family Dollar store as it was closing. So the store employees closed the store and locked the doors and left. Didn't realize the guy was in there. So I don't know what the plan was. Can't wait to hear. But he shot out the front door of the Family Dollar to get out. And there was a woman in the parking lot who was in fear for her life. And he barreled out of the store and fled on foot. This is the Family Dollar that's on the north end of Livingston on 59. And he went across town and down 146 and held a employee at the gas station on 146 that is now a Circle K, used to be a Valero, to rob that store. And they have a description. We posted on Facebook this morning some video and photos of the subject. And anyway, he was masked when he went in there. But if you walk that far, someone else's security video is going to get your picture.
So what did he steal from the Family Dollar?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
He shot out the door, so there's that much damage. But I suspect he was trying to get money. And I don't know how well that went, because once the store is closed, I would imagine it's not laying out on the cash register counter.
They'll take the registers and count them up. But why would you hide in a Family Dollar? I get a Walmart. I get a Target.
Well, Walmart never closes, so
the one in Crockett does.
They, I don't think coming up with a detailed action plan was was part of the menu here, but it's anyway.
He needed some tissue.
Maybe so. But he should have brought a car so he could carry it too. But anyway, so I just talked with the officers before we started recording. They have a name. They would not share it with me yet because they really hope the guy is actively running from them.
Oh, wow.
But they have an arrest warrant for this man and they hope. I hope I'll be writing a story and find out a few more of these details, but a lot of times I have to wait till we get further on down the line before I know how much money was taken, what was the plan for getting in the back of the Family Dollar. Not someplace I go.
I do love Dollar General, but I'm not going to hide out.
Well, I know, and I usually have a family member inside Dollar General at any given moment of the day, but it was not them. It was the other guys that are a little further north.
Gotcha.
If you're a really old Livingston person, it's where Perry Brothers used to be. That's what's going on. And in Commissioner's Court, it's in the print edition of the Enterprise today. We talk about the Commissioner's Court meeting and even when a Livingston resident, Billy Lambeth, stood up and he's been very concerned that the Indians are going to use proceeds from Niskella Entertainment Center, buy up all the property in the county and make his taxes go up and everyone else's. But chairman of the tribal council assured everyone that they plan to continue to try to be good neighbors and they don't have plans to add hundreds and thousands of acres to the reservation. They have to go through a long process. A lot of times, you know, they can add adjacent property out next to the reservation and take that off the tax rolls. But I love the quote from Joanne Batiste. She says, we do go back and buy back some of our land adjacent to the reservation, and that is only a couple of year long process to get it taken off the tax roll. They have about 1,500 acres in the Leggett area that is also tax exempt, but it's a much longer process and the Secretary of the Interior has to actually approve that coming off the tax roll. So it's not that, you know, six Indians get together and buy a couple of lots and they suddenly don't have to pay taxes anymore. It's a lot more complicated than that.
There is, just on Houston County, there is the Peanut Festival this weekend. So all you
peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly.
Not just peanut festival.
Oh. Well, can't we get Grapeland to contribute and
I'm down for a peanut butter and jelly festival. Oh, I would be your number one. That's my favorite all time food.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I like Chinese food. I want something nearby. Just
Good chow mein.
Oh, well, you're in luck, dude.
Do tell.
We are getting a sushi restaurant.
That's right. We were talking about that the other day.
Right over there on 190 next to Patron's. And I was at city council last night, and they said they are just about ready to open, I think.
Sweet.
So interesting. Y'all will be in right inside.
And there is a really good Chinese buffet here in Livingston.
Oh, not 777.
The ad folks are going to kill us, guys, if we start naming the Chinese places.
True, but it's so good.
Anyway. I just gave an ad to Porter.
My co-grandparent, who was born in Cambodia, is my favorite Asian cook. Mm. So I hope for Thanksgiving I'm going to get my normal giant tray full of homemade egg rolls and spring rolls because it's awesome.
And she made.
Go ahead.
No, she's your grandmother?
She's my. We share grandkids. The two little girls that live in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
I'm one grandma. And she's actually Yay and I'm Muddy, but we share grandkids.
Oh, okay.
I can't really eat there anyway because I'm currently trying to stay away from sugar.
So. Oh, I'll eat it for you. Just joking, I need to stay away from sugar.
No, is there sugar in sushi?
Carbs.
I mean, I would think that, you know, the carb-heavy stuff like fried rice and that kind of thing might be a little rough, but. Yeah, I have to go for the cooked stuff because otherwise I just feel like I'm eating at Browder's. See, that got you. All right. Well, that's a good place. We have really talked a long time for there only being three of us. Thanks for being patient and listening to us. We hope to see you out and about in the county when we're out there covering good news.
And bad news.
Well, we hope we don't run into our friends, you know.
That's somewhere true. In between.
When we're out covering her bad news, we hope you're not in amongst it, and hope we see you doing fun stuff like the Peanut Festival, the Folklife Festival over in Tyler County, and all the great stuff that's about to happen in Groveton. Groveton's getting ready for it's an even year, so we have big homecoming coming in Groveton. Mm-hmm. So
sweet.
That's another special project we have going on here at the office. Get to reconnect with all my favorite Indians. My favorite Groveton Indians. I have favorite Indians out on the east side too. But all right, folks. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Be safe.
Bye.
Bye-bye.